A Tale of Two Apps. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Dramali. The Chinese company ByteDance owns two versions of basically the same app. In the U.S., we have TikTok, used by an estimated 170 million people. Meanwhile, Douyin in China itself has 700 million daily active users. Each has different users in different countries and, some argue, different kinds of content. Despite having the same parent company, TikTok and Douyin function as separate worlds. Now, as TikTok simmers in political hot water once again, the differences between the two apps are under the microscope. So I asked Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak why ByteDance has this setup in the first place.
Well, essentially, the Chinese government wants to have control over all of the content that's going within the country. So China doesn't want the outside world's content to come in to a platform that it cannot control. ByteDance, which is the parent company for TikTok and Douyin, decided that rather than trying to have a version that appeals to China and the rest of the world, to have two separate products entirely. So one, Douyin, abides by Chinese censorship and content regulation rules, and then one for the rest of the world.
Well, what is Douyin like? How would you describe it to someone who's never seen it or heard it?
I think it essentially operates the same as all short video apps. So it's, you know, a few second long videos. It comes with some music sometimes. It's created entirely by people for other people. I mean, you mentioned the numbers for TikTok, but Douyin has 743 million active users as of September 2023.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's a wide ranging population. There's tons of content on there that is not solely just for, you know, the much younger teenage population.
Well, shall we open up our apps? I have my TikTok app, and the first thing that popped up actually was Kai Rizdal, because Marketplace is on TikTok. But then I'm seeing, you know, some beauty stuff, lots of young girls, like, talking about jewelry and makeup. Yeah, apparently I'm very boring, but really into makeup. So tell me, what are you seeing, Jen?
Okay. Well, I could tell you for sure, Kai Rizdal is not going to show up on Douyin because we do not have an account on here because it will probably be subject to censorship rules. Okay. Oh, I just opened mine and now it's a tourist, you know, video about Xi'an with the Terracotta Warriors. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this one, oh, this is interesting. Somebody who looks like, I would say Chris Evans. Mm. He's doling out some, but it's an AI version, interestingly enough. I don't know if Chris Evans is aware of this, but it kind of looks like him. It's an AI version of him. Oh, here's a wonderful food. You've got some kimchi, pork belly. Kind of sounds similar, right? I mean, the whole point is that it's supposed to be entertaining. That's what ByteDance was going for. Because if you look at Zhang Yiming, who was the founder of ByteDance initially, because he's an engineer, he was thinking, okay, what's the best way to capture people's attention? He was thinking, okay, how can we learn what types of content people like to watch? And at the same time, adhere to China's very strict censorship rules. So it must be humor, entertainment, right? Things that are not so sensitive. That's not to say that things don't get blocked or they get taken down quite frequently from Chinese social media, but this is not restricted to just Douyin.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Dramali. We're back with Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pak. Well, let me ask you this. There's a clip from the show 60 Minutes that has been making the rounds recently. They did an interview about TikTok and Douyin with a tech ethicist named Tristan Harris. He's the co-founder of the Center for Humane Technology. And here's what he said.
In their version of TikTok, if you're under 14 years old, they show you science experiments you can do at home, patriotism videos, and educational videos. They make their domestic version a spinach version while they ship the opium version to the rest of the world.
So based on what you've seen, does that idea from Tristan Harris ring true?
I have to say that I've heard people here describe Douyin as kind of opium as well. I don't think necessarily school teachers or even parents are happy when their kids are on Douyin. So in China, everybody who has an account online, usually they have to register with their real name, which means they have to put their ID cards in or their phone numbers, which is very much linked to our passports and ID cards, so that authorities will know if you posted something that you probably shouldn't have. I would say maybe it's true in terms of how strict China's censorship rules are, but I have to say there's a lot of stuff that people are not happy about on Douyin. Yes, there's news. Yes, there may be, you know, I've seen videos of little kids teaching their parents about math problems and how they solved it because I learned it in, you know, tutoring classes. But at the same time, you see equally the same amount of nonsensical stuff, people shoving as much food as they can in their mouth, they're dancing. I mean, again, the whole point is for entertainment, right? And so I would say that overall, I've not heard of people here saying that Douyin is educational at all.
That's really interesting to hear. Clearly, a large portion of U.S. lawmakers are unhappy with TikTok, as we've seen in recent days and weeks. How does the government of China seem to feel about Douyin?
I think China's government is just as uneasy about social media in general. And I don't think necessarily they have any less concern about it. So I understand why the narrative may be there to, you know, make the link more clear for people that, okay, there's this product from ByteDance that's going out to try to poison the rest of the world but keep the good stuff for China. I just don't see that happening. There's no evidence of that. You know, if it was up to the Chinese government, I don't think they really want social media. I mean, the reason that these two programs are bifurcated is so that Chinese nationals don't have an easy way that they can communicate with the rest of the world on platforms that are not regulated by China's government. I mean, that is, at the end of the day, the real purpose of this, not because, you know, they think that there's a there's a way to influence the rest of the whole world. And by the way, I have to repeat that ByteDance is very much a private company. So I know that there are lots of concerns about where the Chinese government is. But again, ByteDance is a private company.
You know, ByteDance had a different app that was shut down by the Chinese government back in 2018. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's called the Neihan Duanzi. And so it was a joke app. But in 2018, it just suddenly got shut down by the government. And ByteDance came out and apologized, supposedly for misdirecting users and also having lowbrow content. So it does happen. Like you were asking, you know, what's the relationship between ByteDance and the government? I would say it's always trying. It's got a whole host of, you know, products here in China, and not all of them are to the liking of the Chinese government. So a lot of companies have to do, you know, strict content management in order to survive here in China.
That was Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pak. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.